Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and welcome to a breaking news edition of the Goody Reader Radio Show.
Well, it's been a long time now since I've seen you smile, and I'll gamble away my fright, and I'll gamble away my time, and in a year or a year or so, it's a simple
Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you are listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show. It's Thursday, May the 2nd, 2013. Lots of news has happened in the last 24, 48 hours, and I wanted to bring you guys up to speed on some of the big new things happening in e-reader and tablet land. First of all, Barnes & Noble announced today that they are, in fact, adding Google Play to the Barnes & Noble Nook HD and HD Plus. What this means is within about a week or less, a new firmware update will be pushed to all existing Nook owners. And if you decide to buy one from the stores, they'll be pulled from the shelves, loaded with the new firmware update, and then repackaged. You'll be able to actually access around 700,000 apps and games. Barnes & Noble up until this point has had their own curated app store. So they basically developed an app store from scratch that first hit the scene with like the Nook Color, then the Nook Tablet, and so on. The company basically faced a conundrum where they had to basically actively go out and court developers. Please submit apps to our app store. Make sure that they work with our sized screens. And they had a different API and different developer tools that really kind of made a barrier for most people to submit apps. And don't forget, Barnes & Noble is in the business of selling videos, television shows, ebooks, magazines, newspapers, and so on. Now that you have Google Play, you suddenly are wide open. You can download Angry Birds Friends. You can download Flipboard. You can download Kindle if you wanted to. Kobo, Sony, direct competitors of Barnes & Noble's, which until this point, Barnes & Noble did not have any of its competitors' apps in its app store. So if you wanted Marvel Comics, you had to buy Marvel graphic novels directly through Barnes & Noble, and you couldn't buy individual single issues. Now you could download the Marvel app, download all the single issues that you want, go with Dark Horse, DC, Comixology, and a myriad of other services. This is huge news, and this is really going to be huge for the company because it's going to stimulate more sales. Now that Google Play's there, that's often the deciding factor with a lot of people investing in tablets. If it doesn't have Google Play, it's not worth my time. Now that it has the Barnes & Noble store plus Google Play, it's suddenly a very valid ecosystem, and it's certainly very solid for international customers. I live in Canada. Despite the fact I have an American billing address and credit card, I can download books from Barnes & Noble, but I can't download television shows or movies. But now that I have Google Play, all that stuff, again, is wide open. So kudos to Barnes & Noble for implementing the Google Play, and we look forward to playing around with it once the new firmware update drops. The BlackBerry Q10 has just come out. This is the new smartphone from BlackBerry. It's very reminiscent of the BlackBerry Bold and the BlackBerry Curve. It has a 3.1-inch screen. 720 by 720 is the resolution. Big hyping factor, dual-core 1.5 gigahertz processor, 2 gigs of RAM, and about 16 gigs of storage. The camera is not too shabby either. 8 megapixels on the back, 2 megapixels on the front. It does have Skype now, so you could take advantage of video sharing and video conferencing. I played around with this for about 48 hours, and I'm not too sold. For one, it's locked into portrait mode. You can't put it in landscape mode at all. It's actually hard-coded in the programming to not go into landscape mode. Well, you may say, you know, what's the big difference? Well, if you hold a phone for long sessions, you know, you're watching a 30-minute video, your hand can get crimped by holding a phone in portrait mode in such a way where if it's landscape mode, it's basically just resting in the palm of your hand and or sitting on, like, the bed or the table, and you're not actively having to like hold it and flex muscles. I'm not too sold over that. Another big thing that I'm not too big of a fan of, and this is in BB10 in general, is that you lose the BlackBerry internet service. Now, this is a service that in the past has helped business people save on roaming charges and data. In the past, with every other BlackBerry phone, you got your emails very quick. It was the best email in the business because if you send an email to me, it didn't just go through the phone carriers, but when you sent it, it got sent to the BlackBerry internet server and then immediately pushed to my phone. Now, not only did I get the email quicker than I could get on iOS or Android, but it actually gets compressed to the BlackBerry server. So an email that's, say, 3 kilobits is suddenly 1 kilobit or less than a kilobit. And when you're roaming, you often pay a hefty fee for going over your data caps. And if you're like me and you get like 600 emails a day, tweets, Facebook messages, status updates, and all that jazz, you can quickly, over the period of a week, pay a lot of money. And we talked to a lot of people that suddenly switched to BB10, the Z10 or Q10, and were paying $300 to $400 in roaming fees, where in the past they paid like $50, $30, $40. So that's a huge barrier for people that do travel a lot. In the end, I like the Q10. The screen is too small. Side by side with the Z10 or with the iPhone or with the Samsung Galaxy S4, which I actually got to play with today a few days before the official release, it's too small of a screen. The keyboard is pretty well the only really exciting factor, where you have a physical keyboard to type on. And for the people that grew up with physical keyboards, you may want to stick with this phone. The new generation of kids grow up with touchscreen phones. They could write text messages and write emails super quick without missing a beat. If you're like me, getting a little bit older now, just over 30, but I grew up with keyboards, so going to pure touchscreen takes some getting used to. But in the end, I'm not going to be using my Q10. I find that it's not polished enough, and there's not a lot of apps without having to sideload them all in via the Android. So that's my take on it, but we've done a lot of great videos and everything like that that will get you sort of up to speed on that. Ebook sales increased by over 66% in the UK in 2012. This is huge because digital sales accounted for about £411 million. Fiction sales were up 149%, garnering about £172 million. It's growing, and I mean, partly this was attributed to the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, so I don't know if we'll see that type of growth in 2013, but one of the reasons why the UK industry actually grew exponentially was just the proliferation of tablets and e-readers in the retail sector. 2012 was really a breakthrough year because Barnes & Noble launched all their tablets in the UK. Amazon finally started offering the Paperwhite and their Kindle Fire tablets in the UK. And they put them in Waterstones, they put them in, you know, the high street bookstores, and almost every single bookstore in the UK now has a wide selection of either e-readers and tablets and ecosystems to go along with it. Kobo, 3 million books. Amazon, just over about 1.5 million books. Barnes & Noble, around 500,000 to 600,000 books. So there's a huge ecosystem that customers can tap into, but mainly a lot of these devices are just so much more accessible now. And now that you have all these companies that are entering the UK, they're slashing their prices left, right, and center in order to compete with each other. And this is good for the consumer because, you know, recently Barnes & Noble is offering the Simple Touch Reader for £29. And I believe it used to be like around like 50. And so Barnes & Noble's like slashed the prices of most of their tablets in the UK. So, I mean, this is super solid for customers because as people are trying to compete with each other, drives prices down, customers in the end, they win. One other huge thing that's going on right now, other than ebook sales, is have to do with Hachette. Now, they have signed on to get in the business of library ebook lending. Baker & Taylor, Access 360, Overdrive, and both the 3M Cloud Library are now offering Hachette books. They're getting about 5,000 ebooks from the catalog. This includes notable authors David Baticelli, Sarah Zarr, Sandra Bound, James Patterson, Kate Atkinson, and a number of other authors. So books will be available through Overdrive, at least in Canada, US, Australia, Ireland, and a number of other countries. 3M and Baker & Taylor are mainly US oriented. So if your library does business with any of these companies, the title list is now available for the libraries to purchase. And they're not backlist titles either. You actually have frontlist titles. So as soon as James Patterson on a monthly basis releases a new book, the library will be able to get it that month. Whereas in the past, some publishers only had backlist titles available, or they had an embargo saying that a new book cannot be offered to the library until at least like 2 or 3 months after both the ebook and the tangible book hit the shelves. So people had a chance to buy them, digest them, but a lot of them have churned 360s at almost all the major publishers that do business with libraries now. Give their front list titles right away because they know like people want them. There's long waiting lists, and a lot of library will buy multiple copies, sometimes 10 or 20 copies, to meet the demand of the clientele. In other business, Fast Pencil has sold their publishing business to Courier. Fast Pencil was a company that we spoke to at many different conferences, O'Reilly Tools for Change, Digital Book, at Book Expo America, and they're a company that mainly had a digital infrastructure. So they had self-publishing tools, they had relationships with Apple, Barnes & Noble, Ingram, and they actually had physical arrangements with Barnes & Noble that actually allowed authors to submit their digital books in order to be printed and being offered for sale at Barnes & Noble locations. And so they were sold to Courier. It's unknown how much, but both of the admins of Fast Pencil actually wrote in to us and, you know, said that they were super happy with the sale. I know that the main guy behind it, I believe his name was Matt, but correct me if I'm wrong. One of them is leaving the company, serial entrepreneur, starting a new endeavor. The rest of the Fast Pencil staff is going to be working with Courier. Courier's been going on since about 1824. They have about 1,500 employees. They're almost like the largest publishing company that you've never heard of before. They're traditional publishing. I saw some pictures of their book publishing labs. And I mean, their machines with a physical person standing next to it, like, dwarf them. So this is like book making machines that when you have like a 6 foot tall person standing next to him, like towers over them by at least like double the size. It looks crazy. But I mean, Courier, basically traditional publishing, and they've started to wet their toes in digital publishing. But when you have like such deep roots in the traditional publishing world, it's often hard to sort of start something like a digital initiative from scratch. It's way easier to just buy an established company that already has agreements with everybody. And, you know, you're buying not only the company, but you're buying the staff, you're buying the connections, you're buying like the distribution pipeline and everything like that. So that was a huge deal. Seeing as though I mentioned how we talk to these guys at various conventions, there is a big bit of news regarding a most notable convention that we actually have been to the last few years in a row. So O'Reilly Tools of Change. Now, this is a thing that was started by Tim O'Reilly. It's been going on since about 2007. It was one of the seminal events in New York every year around February or so that brought everybody in the publishing industry talking to each other. So it brought keynotes and speakers and sessions with like three or four people debating a myriad of subject matter. And it was all focused on like the future of publishing, current state of affairs of digital, EPUB 3, Kindle Format 8, HTML5, enhanced ebooks or deluxe ebooks, as one publisher in particular starts calling their books. But I mean, this was one of the best conferences like in the world for the type of stuff that here at Goody Reader we live and breathe, you know, digital publishing, the future of the book, how books have changed over the last few years, where's the book going from e-readers to tablets to, you know, what's next. And this was all the type of stuff that was, people went to this and talked about this sort of stuff nonstop. So it kind of sucks that this is stopping. O'Reilly Tools for Change 2013 was the last conference. They said that we realized that the conference was no longer the best vehicle for us to contribute to the publishing world moving forward. Well, what are they doing? Basically, they're making an in-house self-publishing suite. It's basically tools called Atlas. Not much is really known about it, but this is sort of something that they have been developing for a number of years. My view, honestly, they've been developing Atlas for about 3 or 4 years, they said. And they've been running Tools for Change since 2007. Now, I think it's quite coincidental that they started it, this publishing conference, at the same time they started developing the software. It's almost like they started the software to gain intelligence and bring everybody to them in the digital publishing world, ask them questions, probing questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, what's the best way to approach this? And now they got all the intelligence that they needed to really move forward with their proprietary Atlas software program. So there's no need to have any conventions anymore because they got everything that they need and all the connections that they need to really refine these tools, launch them. They exactly know who to market these now to. They know all like the little companies like BookBaby and Lulu and the bigger companies as well, but it's more mainly like the smaller and mid-level companies. So I think it's quite coincidental that O'Reilly suspended this and saying we're going to focus just on our tool set. So correct me if I'm wrong, and you could yell conspiracy all you want, but I have a feeling that they only started this in order to gain intelligence and to basically find out how they can make their tools different from everyone else. And once they were able to do that, they're just saying, okay, screw these conferences. We're just going to do our own thing. So this has just been a quick update, and we will definitely be back later in the week and give you the full deal on all of the week's news. Perhaps in a few days, we'll do the week in review. We have some great articles on the front page regarding hotels. We actually been covering the hotel industry during about the last week, and we've been looking at basically tablets in hotels and how a lot of hotels are starting to go eco-friendly. They're not washing your towels unless you tell them to. They're not washing your bathrobes unless you're telling them to. They won't wash your bed sheets unless you leave a note. And more hotels are starting to adapt tablets. So anywhere from the concierge, where in the past they would hand you a map or hand you a pamphlet, now they're handing you an iPad. You want to go to the Bronx Zoo? Here's like the animal exhibits that are happening here today. Or if you're in a bar and you want to look at the seasonal menu instead of the hotel having to print and design and spend a lot of money printing these sort of things out, they update a web page. Here's an iPad. This is what we're serving today. And also in the rooms, some hotels are getting pretty high tech where they're allowing you to control air conditioning, the lights. You're able to order room service instead of watching crappy table TV. They have free Netflix for you to watch. So there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the hotel sector. And we've written two articles in the last week where if you're in the hospitality industry, you may want to check this out because we've interviewed a lot of people and we're writing the third part probably early next week. We've talked to a number of software developers that write proprietary software for hotels, and we've actually talked to a number of hotels themselves that are running pilot projects. Everything from having digital Bibles on the Kindle, so you open up your nightstands to have a Bible there, there's a Kindle there with the Bible loaded on it, as well as credits to buy Bibles in your own languages, or you know, if you celebrate a different religion, that you could, you know, use those credits to buy the Quran or to, you know, buy a lot of other things. So my name is Michael. This has been a quick update of the biggest news during the last 45 hours, whatever. My head is spinning. There's a tremendous amount of news happening here. So I'm going to let you go for today, but stay tuned this weekend for the full edition of the Goody Reader Radio Show. And everybody, take care.